to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to see you this morning. Let's stand together as we sing this great song of praise, House of the Lord.
Worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. Won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We sing to the God. We sing to the God who. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling souls away. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Let's sing this out, church. We were the beggars.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven. Accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing.
Sing praise this morning, come on.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise.
Jesus. Let's sing that out. When all I see,
when all all I see is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I'm safe with you.
So when I fight,
I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
And if you are for me,
there's nothing impossible.
Oh, when all I see,
when all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty.
Thank you, God.
When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb.
You go before us.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of
our God. Lift it up, come on.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows.
Be seated if you will. We are now 130 plus hours into 140 hours of continual prayer. Starting on Monday, this past Monday at 10 p.m., people were praying right here, and someone's been praying here in this room, except for when there's worship time, they're in the next room, but they've been in this room for over 130 hours. It'll finish tonight at 6 p.m. with 140 hours. And I don't know about you, but the reality for me is because the prayers of the saints, the scripture says, are like sweet smelling incense. I felt it in the room. I sense it in the room, the Holy Spirit at work among us, and I'm thankful for that. Our prayer warriors this week have looked like teenagers. Our prayer warriors have looked like 85-year-old adults. Our prayer warriors have been men and women of all ages, children, adults, senior adults, gathering together to do battle on behalf of our faith family, on behalf of the Lord in our community. What a difference that has made. So thank you for participating. If we want to invite everyone here, and I'll invite all those participating online, wherever you are, you can get in your car and come this way if you're close enough. Tonight at 5 p.m. is the final hour of prayer. It will be not one person praying, but all of us that can gather. So if you can come at 5 p.m. in this room, Don's going to lead us just acoustically in a few songs. We'll have some praise music. We will sing a few hymns. We will also then just pray for the hour. At 6 p.m., we will end by moving into the venue. We've got pizza. We ask you to bring some desserts if you can, and we'll just have a fellowship time together. We will have nursery for kindergarten and below just to help out if that's easier for you during the prayer time. Everyone else will be in here praying together. Join us tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm very excited. I also want to say this. If you're participating at home, welcome. Thank you for worshiping with us. We'd love to know that you are there. So there's a number on the bottom screen. If you'll take time to text that over the next few seconds and just text your name, that's enough. But you can text the word welcome, and that'll put you in a little system with me. And we would love to do that. So we hope that you will, and we thank you for participating. If you're in the room and you're a guest, welcome today. We would ask you to take the tear off of the worship guide, hopefully you received when you came in, and fill that out and then place it in the offering boxes outside the door as you leave. We'd love to have a record of your being here. I have a gift to send you in the mail, so we would love to do that and for you to participate in that way. If you didn't get a worship guide, in the pews in front of you, there should be some little info you can fill out. That'll be fine as well to do that. As we pray today, we always have a church of the week and a mission of the week. Our church of the week is Life Church of Boaz. Life Church of Boaz is a church plant that we are helping to sponsor. It's brand new. Today is their launch Sunday. So today, they started 41 minutes ago. So we're no longer praying for people to show up. At this point, we're praying for the Lord to move in power there among them. So pray for them. I pray that they'll be able to reach people for the gospel. There, you may say, why in the world do we need another church in Marshall County? You shake a tree and a Baptist church falls out. I get it. I get it. But can I say to you, the reason is this. There are thousands of people in Marshall County who will not darken the door of the church at all this year. There are thousands of people in Marshall County who are not connected to any church in any circumstance in any way. There are thousands of people that fit that mold. So there are people that we're not going to reach for one reason or another as much as we want to. But another family, a new faith family, can. So pray for them, pray for their church. And then secondly, our mission of the week is the Maker's Child Respite Night. We are so honored to have that ministry kind of home base right here with us. When God gave Holly Willoughby the vision for that ministry a number of years ago to reach out to special needs families and to care for them. And then she and Sammy and the board of directors have developed that into something that is amazing. They have done such a great job. So we pray for them this week. Pray for God's provision for all the volunteers, for safety for those who participate. Pray for the participants to come to know the Lord. Pray for families to find respite in the midst of that. And this Friday night is the monthly respite night. This month is it at the Life Point, sorry, it's at Life Point. So if you would like to volunteer, Holly told me just before we start, they might could use another 10 people. So if you'd like to serve Friday night, you don't have to belong at Life Point. We can all share and be a part of that. So if you would like to, you can see Holly afterwards or see us or on your worship guide, right? I'll help with Maker's Child. We'll get it in the right place and we'll be thankful to do that. But we are so thrilled to be a part of that ministry. So let's pray and then we'll carry on in worship. Father God, thank you that we can bring prayers to you. Thank you that we can be reminded when Jesus spoke the words while he was in the temple that his house shall be called a house of prayer. Father, that applies to us in this building. We're not saying this building is the only place you dwell by any imagination, stretch of the imagination. God, you dwell within us as your believers. You are all over this planet. But Father, we set apart this place as set apart and holy. So we do say, may your house be called a house of prayer. Father, we pray for Life Church of Boaz. Move in power there. Be with Lynn Darnell and the entire team as they serve their community. Send, Lord, my prayer is that you would not send a bunch of people to swap churches and go to that church. But Father, that you would send those that do not know you, those that need hope, those that are unchurched, those that are dechurched, those that haven't been in church in a long time. Oh, Father, would you move in power among them? And Father, we pray for the Maker's Child Respite Night. Thank you for the vision of that ministry. Thank you for how you have provided and how we've seen it explode in the last couple of years. Lord, I pray that 2023 will be their best year of ministry yet. That this will be the best year ever for ministering to special needs families, for seeing special needs individuals know their worth in who you are and what you're doing, to see their families find hope and comfort in you. And thank you that we get to be a part of it. We pray you'd provide all that's needed for Friday night, and it would be a powerful night of ministry there. And now, Father, we are asking that as we lift up your Son, Jesus, that you would radically transform us in this room. God, that no one would be able to leave here today not having felt your presence. But Lord, it's not about a feeling. We don't want to leave here stirred. Lord, we can stir people's emotions. That's not the point. God, may we leave transformed. May we leave renewed by the power of who you are. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing about Jesus. Jesus, there is something about that name. Let's stand together. Lift your voice as we sing.
Sing this together, church.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Jesus, wonderful this morning. We're just going to continue worshiping as we sing that song of praise. Is it the name? Sing that out with us.
Is it the name of Jesus wonderful? Is it the name of Jesus wonderful? And all the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Isn't the name?
Isn't the name?
Just close your eyes and sing that to Him. Master, Master, Savior, Savior. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 oh Jesus, let all heaven Jesus, we speak your name. Jesus, we plead your name. Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we need your name. We are praying that you would move in power among us now. You are the Word, as John 1 says. So would you speak the Word to us now? It's in the name of Jesus we ask this of you. Amen. Be seated if you will, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Kings. That's in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 18. Let me say to you that life is a battle. If you've not had a battle lately, you must be living at home alone and not talking to anybody. Life is a battle. We face battles in life, and there will be days of struggle and days of triumph. The world, our own flesh, and the enemy, the devil, will bring pressure against us while we are on this earth. So as followers of Jesus, it's important that we remember, though, something we've shared before. This truth is important. We are not fighting for victory. We already have victory because of the cross and the empty tomb. So we don't fight for victory. We fight from a place of victory. That's very important that we understand when we pray. It's very important that we understand when we praise. It's very important that we understand when we do battle, when we live our lives. In the scripture, there are some incredible battles that take place, physical battles. I love 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles. They give this beautiful picture, an incredible picture of battles that take place among kings and kingdoms and God's people. And you will find God's kings and God's warriors who live for Him. And then you will find kings and warriors who are just plain evil. And one of my favorite kings of all is King Hezekiah. And his story is found in multiple places. And I really want to encourage you. I'm just going to give you a snippet today, but go back and read all of his story. Write down these places, you'll find them. You'll find his story in 1 Kings chapter 16 through 20. You'll find it, or 2 Kings 16 through 20, excuse me, 2 Chronicles 28 through 32, and Isaiah 36 through 39. In those passages, you will find his story. But I want to tell with you one of his stories because it deals with prayer and what we have had an emphasis of the last week and will continue an emphasis of for a couple of weeks more. And so let's look at Hezekiah's life. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. It says this, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Now, let me explain. If you're new to understanding the kingdoms of the Old Testament, Israel was God's king, God's kingdom, excuse me, God's people. But understand that at one point, Israel splits into two kingdoms. You have the northern kingdom, Israel. You have the southern kingdom, Judah. But that is all Israel in a sense. And so we're talking, when it describes two different kings at the same time, that's what it's referring to. Look at verse 2. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom of Judah. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. So let's unpack that for a second. What we learn from this is this. Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz. Ahaz was a ruthless, horrible, terrible king. If you go back and you look at how Ahaz lived his life, he murdered at least one, if not more, of his sons. He had them worship false gods. He took the temple and boarded it up and put nails on the door so they could not go inside it anymore. He was a horrible, horrible man, one of the worst ever mentioned in the Bible. But his son, Hezekiah, changed the family tree. Let me speak to you for a second. Maybe you come from a long line of something. You fill in the blank, a long line of angry people, a long line of addicts, a long line of prideful people, a long line, I don't know, but if you come from a line of people and you think it's a struggle back in the generations of my family, can I say to you, you can be the change in your family tree. I promise you, God has gifted you with the ability. If you have him in your life, you can do that if you will follow the Holy Spirit. So Hezekiah comes along, and he is a godly king. He does godly things. He prays to God often when help is needed. So it also says, though, that he's the son of David. Now, let's not confuse things. So why would the Bible say he's the son of Ahab and the son of David? Realize that that phrase, son of David, was a special title given to three kings of Judah, three kings that followed after God. They were considered to be a son of David because David, the Davidic throne line and all that happens for Israel. So that's a term of endearment. His father was Ahaz, not David, but he was considered a king, the son of David. So here's what we learn from him. That it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done. Now, in the middle of early on, in his reign as king, the Assyrians show up on the scene, and the Assyrian Empire were some bad dudes. They had conquered everyone in the known world. No one had been able to survive them, and they had set their sights on Jerusalem. They had set their sights on Judah. So they start capturing cities in Judah, and they make their way to Jerusalem, the stronghold, and then Hezekiah goes to the Lord in prayer, and then he follows the Lord's command. The good thing about Hezekiah is he knew how to pray, and he knew how to pray in a way where God would respond, and then he followed what God told him to do. Well, the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, was an evil man, so he launched a psychological campaign where he would fight a battle in the minds of the people in Jerusalem. He gave them fear, and he threatened them. Listen, let me ask you, how many of us in this room, don't raise your hand, but how many of you would agree with me that my greatest battlefield is in my mind? What about you? The battlefield of the mind is a harsh place at times. So the Assyrian king did something. He wanted to frighten them, so he sent a messenger. And this messenger, the Bible calls him the Rabshakeh. Now that name, we don't really know what the Rabshakeh means. It's not just Rabshakeh, it's the Rabshakeh. And it's this incredible, ominous name. If you were to say that the Rabshakeh is coming for you, that doesn't sound good. And so the Rabshakeh shows up with a letter from Sennacherib. And in the middle of this letter, he begins to spew all these lies. He doesn't say, which would have been the right thing to do, let me see your king and I have a letter for him. No. Even though he was to deliver it. Instead, he takes the letter and he begins to read it outside the walls of Jerusalem. So you have all of these guards on the walls of Jerusalem, and they're hearing the Rabshakeh read this letter, and it's ominous and it's scary, and the fear begins to happen in their minds. And so in the middle of all that, this letter, I don't have time to read it. You can go back and read it for yourself in 2 Kings. But in this letter, here is a summary of what he says. The letter questions if God could be trusted. The letter ridiculed Hezekiah's plan to protect his people. The letter told them that there would be no one to aid them, that Egypt would not come to their help. The letter tried to frighten them with what life was going to be like. The letter promised that they would be provided with good provisions if they turned away from God and accepted Assyria. And the letter reminded them that no other nation existed that had ever defeated Assyria, and they had their sights set on them now. It was scary, scary. It pushed them to question God. That's what Satan has been doing all along. Did God really say? Did he really mean? Is he really there for you? So let me ask you, that letter of lies, does it remind you of something in your own life? Listen, here's what I would say. The world, your own flesh, my flesh, and the enemy, Satan himself, want us to question if God can really be trusted. Now, I realize you may never utter the words, I can't trust God, but sometimes in our own lives, we just wonder if God's really going to do for us. Or maybe we somehow are the one exception to all of his rules and promises in the Bible, and he's really not going to come through for us. Our flesh wants us to think that we have a better plan than God. And you may say, I've never thought I had a better plan than God. Wrong. The truth is, anytime you've ever sinned, you thought you had a better plan than God. Anytime I've ever sinned, I thought I had at least a temporary better plan than God. And we'd make a choice, and it's prideful, but we all do it at times. We think we know better when we never do, and that's the case. And the enemy wants you to feel alone. Listen, you may be in this room of a couple hundred people sitting here, surrounded by people who are worshiping together and interacting, and you may feel like you are the only person in the room. You are all alone. The enemy wants you to focus on the what ifs of your problems and situations. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't come through? What if, what if, what if? The world will try to give you a different plan than God's plan. The world wants you and I to focus on things that are not of God and focus on our own way of doing things. The enemy wants to remind us that God maybe hasn't come through on our answer yet, and so maybe he's not going to at all. And the enemy wants you and me to be anxious, depressed, dejected, numb, questioning God. So listen, the reality is the letter that Hezekiah received, someone might as well have wrote that letter for you and me. Let me ask you a question. What circumstances in your life need your attention and trust and God's provision and plan? If you've got something in your life, it could be big, it could be small. Let me give you some examples. Maybe your marriage is withering on the vine and nobody knows it but you. Maybe it's rotting on the ground and nobody knows it but you. Maybe there's a family member in your house that is far from God and they're walking the wrong direction even further and you don't know what to do. Maybe you've got a job situation, a financial situation, a physical need that's been looming over you for a long time. Maybe there's a health problem that you desperately need either God to heal or you need his grace to walk through it because it's been a struggle. What has been your biggest and most consistent worry for the last 2 months? How about the last 2 years? Whatever that is, consider that your letter. Consider that what God would want you to be able to do what Hezekiah does next with. And let's look and see what Hezekiah does. So he receives this letter, this battlefield that's taking place in the mind of all of Jerusalem. Hezekiah decides to take it to the physical realm and do something with it. So it says in 2 Kings chapter 19, this is what he does, verse 14. It says, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, that was the evil king, with which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste all the nations around us and their lands. They've cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, listen to his plea. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all of the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. So what can we learn from Hezekiah's prayers and how he prays? A couple of things really quickly, and then we're going to put it into practice. First of all, Hezekiah went straight to God. He didn't start by reading this letter to his advisors. He didn't take it home to his wife and say, what do you think I ought to do? He went straight to God. He didn't go to social media. He didn't have it, of course, but he didn't go complain about his spouse or his family members or his job or his school or anything else to anybody else that couldn't do something about it. And by the way, when we do complain online, you do realize they can't do anything about it. And so the reality is it's just offered up in that way. Instead, he went straight to God. He went straight to the God of Jacob who brings redemption. He went straight to the God of Moses who parts the sea and wipes away God's enemies. He went straight to the God of Mary who chooses the lowly to show his glory. He went straight to the God of David who will make giant killers out of shepherds. That's the God he went to. That's the same God we can go to. He went straight to God. The second thing he did is Hezekiah's prayer was bold. It was bold. He asked God to save them when they were surrounded by an enemy much stronger than them. There was no way physically they could defeat the Assyrian army. They were going to lose if God did not intervene, period. And so he boldly asked God to save them so that the world would know that he is God alone. I have to tell you, in my own life and in a lot of our lives, I believe, we often pray way too much for our comfort and for quick solutions. We pray for God to comfort us, and we pray for comfortable things to happen, and we pray for quick solutions. And I want to encourage you and me to pray bold, world-changing, Bible-inspired prayers. Like many of the believers, most of the daily prayers of a lot of Christians, I hate to say, I really believe it's the case. A lot of Christians, their prayers centered around praying for food to be blessed for the nourishment of our body, for safety as we travel. Listen, I want to assure you of something. We put together a notebook for praying so that the 140 prayer warriors that have been in this room praying, actually it's more like 160 or 70 different people that have been through here praying. I can tell you, they didn't sit here for an hour and say, God, please bless the food of every church member right now in case they forgot to do so. Bless it, Lord. They weren't doing that. No, they were boldly going to God, to the throne room, to ask God to move in power. And so I want to encourage you and encourage me to be bold in our prayers. There is nothing wrong with praying for your food. Now, you can ask my family. I sort of have my own little tradition, and that is this. And if I'm ever out at a meal with you, let's be honest. Everyone asks the pastor to pray. I am the DP, designated prayer. I didn't know if you do that or not. So if we go to a meal, you're going to ask me if I want to pray. And most of you are going to be surprised because my prayer meal is very, very short. I just thank God for the food and move on. And I've had people stop and look at me like, is that really all you're going to do? And my response to them is, listen, if you pray other times, you don't have to pray long at a meal. People praying a long time at a meal aren't talking to God any other time. That's my theory. But anyway, so... You know, y'all with me. Hungry people are with me at least, okay? So we'll pray. And so we learn to pray and we do ask God to move in power. But how sad would it be if you walk up to someone and say, I'm desperate, I need prayer. They say, I'll do it right now. And they put their hand on you and say, Lord, bless whatever they're going to eat later today to the nourishment of their body. Oh, that would be horrible. So we pray bold, kingdom-shaking prayers, Bible prayers. I love how Pastor Craig Groeschel said it. I read this to us last year in a series on prayer. He says this, if God said yes to every prayer you prayed in the last 7 days, how would the world be different? Would the world truly be different? The kingdom of God have truly moved, or would everybody have arrived safely under traveling mercies and have good blessed double cheeseburgers and Diet Cokes? Listen, friends, I want to encourage you. It's great to pray for those things, but pray in boldness. That's not the kind of prayer Hezekiah prayed. He was bold. I shared 2 years ago in a message on prayer, if you're learning a pattern, 2 years ago in a message on prayer, a quote that is now, 430 something years old. This is an amazing quote, it's a prayer. 430 years old from Sir Francis Drake. He was an English sea captain, and listen to what he prayed. There's power in this. He said, disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we've dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to grow dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider and wilder seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push back the future in strength and in courage and hope and love. He says, we ask this in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I want to pray that kind of bold prayer like Sir Francis Drake did 400 years ago. I don't want my prayers to be safe or comfortable. I want to pray bold things for God to do among us and among his people. So Hezekiah went straight to God. Hezekiah was bold in his prayer. And then third, Hezekiah's prayer was open and honest. He was transparent before the Lord. He took the letter and he went to the house of the Lord and he spread it out before him. I want you to kind of get the visual image of that. Kel, would you mind to slide that table right down here to the middle? And I want to give you an example of what I mean. So as he brings that down, let me get behind it here. Picture, and this is not what it looked like necessarily, but he went to the temple. Thank you, sir. This is good right there. Went to the temple, and he, at the table in the temple, he lays out before it. I'm just laying some things out. He lays out before it this letter. And he says, God, this is what your enemy said about you. This is what he's trying to get us to believe. And would you, for the sake of the world knowing that you are God alone, would you come and would you move in power? And so he has this beautiful picture of doing that in the midst of people. And so what I want to ask you is this. What circumstance in your life, I've already asked the same question, I'll ask it again. What circumstance in your life needs your attention and trust and God's provision and plan? What is it in your life that needs that? Is it a marriage issue, a family issue, a spouse issue, a child issue, a job issue, a health issue, something going on in your mind that nobody else knows about? Maybe there's an addiction that nobody knows about. Maybe there's addiction that everybody knows about. I don't know what the case would be. Maybe it's some level of anxiety that's beyond the normal and it goes beyond even the physical understanding of anxiety that we have and the medical understanding to a really spiritual attack in certain ways. And maybe for you, I don't know what the case is, but I know this. If you are human in the room, if you're human, say, oh my. Okay. And if God is real in the room, if God is real, say amen. Okay, so if you can believe both of those things, then trust me when I say you're fighting a spiritual battle at some point. So whatever it is for you, whether it's minor or major, there is something that is lying to you, or there is something you're asking God to do, or someone you've been praying for years or for months, and you're still waiting, and God has not necessarily answered that yet, or maybe not in the way you want. Can I encourage you for just a moment to do the same thing Hezekiah did and to lay it out before the Lord? Lay it out before him and ask him to help you for his glory and his glory alone. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to do something. When you came in, if you got a worship guide, in the middle of that is a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, it looks like this. I'm going to cover the words on this one. And it's designed for you to be able, if you didn't get one, just grab a piece of paper out of the pew in front of you, anything. It doesn't matter what's written on it. But I want everyone to have a piece of paper in their hand. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me in just a moment. I want to ask you to have the courage. Don't start yet. Don't get ahead of me, okay? So hold on. But I want to ask you in a moment to have the courage to do something. Here's what I've come to learn, and I don't want to offend anybody, and I'm not trying to coerce anybody into thinking that if everybody doesn't do this somehow, you're not going to be showing people your spiritual. This is not for show, so I don't care. If it would not hurt my feelings if no one came, but if God is directing you, if you've got a problem or issue, this is what I want you to do. If you're like me, there are plenty of things I've been praying for. I've got a friend whose marriage is struggling right now. It's been my longest childhood friend that I've prayed for. He and I have been friends longer than any friend I've got, and one that we are close, and we talk multiple times a week, every single week. He doesn't live here in the area, and his marriage is struggling. And so it has been my bold prayer that God would bring restoration there and not just let them survive, but that they would thrive in a new way for his glory and others would see it. And that's what I've been praying for several weeks now, and that's what I wrote on my prayer earlier today. And then I also wrote two more personal things I'm not going to mention here, very specific for some people in my life. So here's what I would encourage you to do. No one's going to see these. Nobody's going to see it. Don't write anything yet. Not a soul. But I want to ask you in just a moment to do something. See, what I've learned is this. Pride gets in the way of the power of God. Let me say it again. Pride gets in the way of the power of God. There are people, and don't be offended, but I want to just speak plainly. There are people that there's some level of pride that means they're never going to let anyone see that they have a need in their life. I want to encourage you. I'm not asking you to be public. You don't have to tell everybody. This can be private. Private's okay, but pride's not okay. Private's fine, so it can be private. But I want to encourage you to realize that to humbly have confidence that God will respond in a way that we're going to ask him to do so will require some humility on your part and mine. I sort of thought about it this week in our prayer time. I've prayed many times in this room. I don't know, in the 25 years that I've been connected to this church, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed in this room from up here, how many times I've come in here by myself for a minute to pray through the pews or to come sit here. And of all the times that I have prayed in this room, we when I was a student minister years ago, we had a Tuesday night meeting we called the prayer wall, and we had would have 15 to 20 teenagers come every Tuesday night to get on their knees and pray for our church. We did that for a couple of years. So there are young adults in this room who came and prayed that way. I've seen God move in power multiple times, but I want to tell you something. I've never met the Lord like I did Thursday morning at 1 a.m. in this place. I'm not saying that for show, I mean it. And you know why? I've never prayed in here at 1 a.m. in the morning. And for me, I am not a night person. I don't know if you are. I don't understand you. Vampires and demons like night, but I mean, I don't know. It's okay. I don't know anything about. I'm not a night person. I can't be up all night. People say, let's go to a late movie. I'm like, are you kidding me? No. People, let's go get something to eat at midnight. No. People, how about have a church youth lock-in when I was youth minister? That's of the devil. No, I don't do anything late at night. I just don't do it. I go to bed early, ask my children. I'm like a really old person in a 51-year-old body. I cannot stay up late. And so, but I've prayed many times, and it's been special times, but nothing more special than 1 a.m. And here's, I'm convinced this is why. Because I had to let down my pride enough to, because pride's really about just wanting our own way. Because my way says sleep. Don't get up at 1 a.m. So I'm not saying pride and boastful. I just mean wanting our own way. And so to be able to say, I will set my alarm for 12:15 to get up, to come down here. And in that hour, I cannot tell you, except to be truthful with you, that it was the most special hour of prayer I've ever had. God met me here in this place. And I believe it's because I humbled myself enough to get up at 1 a.m. and come. Now, let's translate that to today. There are times that I believe God wants to meet us and move in our lives, but we will not take gentle steps of humble confidence to trust him to do so. And so we sit and we don't move. So what I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment is to write out whatever it is that you're praying about or that major thing in your life. No one's going to look at it. These are all from the early service. There's 150 of these here, and they're all in here. But I want you to understand something. I've not read a one, not looked at a one. We're not going to. When we're done, we're going to shred them. Oh, they'll be gone. No one's looking. This is about you and the Lord. You say, well, then why do I need to come and do that? You don't have to. But I'm asking you to have humble confidence that God is willing to meet you in the same way he did Hezekiah. Because I want you to know, when Hezekiah laid his letter out before the Lord, do you know what happened after that? If you keep reading, you will find 150,000 Assyrians were killed the next day, and not one person of the army of God had to do it. God did it. Now listen, I can't promise you your problem's going away tomorrow. This is not some kind of name it and claim it thing. What I'm saying is we will follow in the pattern of Hezekiah to lay out before the Lord and to ask him to do what only he can do. In humble submission to say, God, for the world's sake, to know that you're who you say you are, will you do this? So in just a moment, I'll ask you to write. And if you've already started writing, you're not following directions. But if you're before you, I'll ask you to write. But listen, if it's something personal and you're afraid someone might just see the name when it's dropped beside you, use a code word. You don't have to put that. Fold it over so nobody sees it. This is personal. So it's private. We just don't want to let pride get in the way of it. So maybe for you, your marriage needs a miracle. Write that down. Your health needs a miracle. Write that down. You're ruled by anxiety. Write that down. Your son or daughter needs salvation. Write that down. Your friend is far from God. Write that down. You need a job. Write that down. You need freedom from an addiction that nobody knows about. Find a code way to write that down, but no one's going to see it. You want the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. You want personal revival. You simply want to say, God, use me at my age, whatever that is, teenager, the oldest adult in the room, God, use me. Whatever the case may be, will you do that? And so we're going to play a song. You can go ahead and start the song, John. And as the song plays, I invite you to write. And then when you're done, just as you can, to get up and come and to fold that over and place it right here. And then go back to your seat and ask God to do what he did for Hezekiah. Now, I know that sounds strange, but this is what the Lord told me to have us do this week. So that's what I'm asking. Would you write with me? And then would you come?
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.